And we are live. Welcome, folks, to episode 3,600 of the Survival Podcast. And you know me, I'm just a freak in certain ways, and numbers are one of those ways, and I like even numbers. So it's always kind of cool when we cross another 100 episode mark. I guess our next big episode, our big monumental episode will be 4,000. We're pretty far away from that. But 3,600, we've been around a while, 16 and a half years. And we've seen a lot of things change over the years. When I started the show, for instance, the number one way people paid me other than online with like a credit or a debit card was silver. I got silver in the mail all the time. I was talking to Guy Swan yesterday and said, hey, you know, I haven't got a silver coin in the mail for a long time, probably around 2017-ish, somewhere in there. Everybody pays now. If they're going to pay an alternative way, they pay with like, oh, I don't know, Bitcoin. And so we've seen a lot of technological innovation, and one of the innovations we've seen in the last few years is the rise of what's referred to as AI, or artificial intelligence. I've often said it's not artificial nor intelligent, but it is very, very useful, and it is the name we have. Just like a Bitcoin wallet, it's really not a wallet. It's a signing device. There's nothing in it. It is an access tool. AI is most of the AI that we're playing with today is large language models. We also have image generators and things like that. And I've been using it in my business for about 2 years, and it's been incredibly valuable. I look at it as now I have a brainstorming team. I have a graphic designer who I have to yell at sometimes, but it's okay. I can yell at them. They don't get mad. I have a proofreader. I have a copywriter who can write in my voice and style. There's a lot of little tricks and hacks and prompts that I've saved, and it's really helped me. And I've had two responses from the audience. One is, it's a demon and it's going to kill us all. Then you watch Terminator. And I've had people like, this is really, really interesting. Well, the people that have said it's interesting and are using it are benefiting from it. One of my good friends, Billy Bond, has gotten tons of products, for instance, to do reviews on by writing tons of emails, except he only asked ChatGPT with one set of prompts to do it once. He just drops in new products and then writes new emails and he sends it off, and this is one of the biggest success stories I've ever heard from a YouTuber. He's gotten almost $100,000 worth of free product in the last 18 months doing just that. And that's the two extremes that I've had in this audience. The people that are like, hey, this is a really cool tool that I can use, and those that are afraid of it. And it just makes me think of the old cartoon where like these dudes are making like the first fire and there's all these people yelling and screaming that it's dangerous. Well, anything can be dangerous when it's used wrong, but my view is if you do not use artificial intelligence in your business, especially if you're a small business or a solopreneur in 2024, 2025 we're heading into, you're going to get killed. You are going to get murdered by your competitors because they're going to use it whether you like it or not. And I would put it to you this way. Let's imagine that you're competing with me as a podcaster, and instead of just being the solopreneur that I am, I went out and took my money, and I hired a graphic designer, and I hired a copywriter, and I hired a team to brainstorm with me a couple times a week, and I hired a research assistant, and I said, guys, here's your money. Go do that for me. How hard would it be to compete with me? That's what I've done with AI. And I didn't have to spend a lot of money to do it. I have the premium version of ChatGPT and a few other tools, and otherwise, it's still just me, and it's multiplied my impact. So today, I'm going to bring Joshua Hale on, who has been doing this for a while, consulting with companies, rolling out some e-courses on how to use these tools, and we'll have him on in just a moment. Before we do that, though, let's hear from our sponsors of the day. Sponsor of the day number one today is Above Phone. How would you like to replace the device that spies on you with the apps that spy on you with the carrier that spies on you with a device and a where it doesn't do that? The apps don't do that, and the carrier can't do that. You can do that with Above Phone. You also can get $75 off any Above Phone at AbovePhone.com if you're an MSB member. And if you're like, but I don't know how to use this new tool, here's the good news. After you get your Above Phone, you get a one-hour free consultation with an Above Phone expert who will walk you through exactly how to use your new phone that will actually be something that serves you versus serves the people who sold it to you. What a novel idea. Next up today is Start9 Sovereign Computing with Start9 Sovereign Servers. This is a great tool. I promise you, you can use it. It is not that hard. If you can plug things in, you can install apps and use apps, you can use a Start9 server. You can take back your tech with Start9. things like having end-to-end private messaging, run your own Bitcoin node, run your own Lightning node, run BTC Pay Server yourself, have a way to store all your documents, photos, access them from anywhere in the world in full encryption over Tor, and have no one in the cloud that decides, oh, he doesn't need his stuff anymore. He said something naughty, Alexa caught him or something. We know things like that have happened. And your data is all not sitting in one little honeypot where somebody could come in and grab it all because you're not that important. But a database with thousands or millions of people, well, that's important. That's what hackers are looking for. So these two companies fit well with today's show because they're both in the tech space. And we are talking about an emerging technology and what is called artificial intelligence. And with that, I want to bring our special guest on, Josh Hale. Josh, welcome to the show, bro.
Hey, thanks so much for having me on. Longtime listener, really excited to be here.
I'm glad to have you with us. Before we jump into what AI can do, can you tell us, like, how did you end up in the space that you're in at all? Like, go back to your space and out in study hall or something, and you're in school, and you're like, what do I do with my life? And it probably wasn't building online courses about AI, because AI was like a Star Trek thing at that time, most likely, right?
No, absolutely. And I actually dropped out of school in 10th grade. I didn't see the use of it, and then carried shame through my 20s, working in the restaurant industry, then coming to learn about the education system and its history, realizing that I have unlimited potential and that what they were trying to teach me wasn't actually beneficial for me. And so since then, I've been a self-learner and been hitting the ground running, especially when I came out of my drug fog of my 20s. I realized how much personal development I had to do. And so I've just been on this path of improving myself and started a marketing company. I got into helping people and helping other businesses. It's really part of my personality. And I was running a marketing agency when ChatGPT came out. I went out and visited a fellow marketer here in town for lunch. He kind of showed me under the table. He's like, dude, have you seen this thing? Cool. And I immediately recognized the value of what it was doing. And I was then able to go home, start tinkering around with it. And because I had a marketing agency, I had a dozen clients that I was starting to practice and see its capabilities on, and saw how disruptive that this was going to be. So I essentially left that marketing agency because I realized I could do 80% of what I was paying, you know, a lot of money for a lot of contractors to accomplish. And now I can bring in those contractors for some final polish when needed, but I'm able to pass on those savings to help small businesses and small projects, teaching them how to use AI and then also helping them out with AI business strategy.
So I have to think that, like me, you're kind of an autodidact. You're self-taught in a lot of ways. I did complete school, but I didn't learn anything that I actually use in my life there other than how to read, write, and do basic math and a little bit of history, right? And everything else is something I learned on my own. So when I first saw ChatGPT, I'm like, yeah, it's a neat little buzzy thing. But I was like, when I played with it, I'm like, this is the ultimate learning tool. And that's what led me to all the marketing and things I could do with it. But initially, it was just, man, I have a Socrat in front of me, right? Like I can examine any topic and frustrate myself with somebody that's smarter than me because they have access to all this information, and that will teach me. And so to me, that was like one of my first hooks.
Yeah, I was actually visiting a client in Seattle in 2016, and I was hanging out with some developers, and they were freaking out about these chatbots talking to each other. I was looking over their shoulder and it was incoherent. Like none of it made sense.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what are you guys freaking out about? This is ridiculous. Why would you want to watch this? And little did I know that was like the early onslaught of what today's large language models turned out to be.
Yeah. Yeah. I think one of the problems that a lot of people out there have is, I'll just leave the people out that it's a demon that's going to take over the world. It's you're so disconnected from it. Like there's so many things it can't do yet. That's the last thing I'm worried about. But there's also a lot of people that they're worried about the fact that it'll be wrong at certain times, or it'll do things. It has hallucinations and all. And it does. And I think that's why it requires some level of skill as an operator to get the best result out of it. Like any tool, like, you know, you can give one dude a saw and he'll cut his finger off, and then give another guy a saw and he'll make you a house with it. Right. There is the skill of the operator involved. But I think that that's one of the things people haven't realized is, number one, a lot of the things they say about it, it doesn't do that anymore. Like, this isn't a growing tech. And I do think we've hit kind of a point where we're not going to have the improvements as rapid as they have been. It's kind of leveling out. But this is an evolving tech that just keeps getting better. And I think the time to learn to use it is at the beginning. You know, think about the people that, you know, have a million followers on Twitter. Most of them were there when people were like, what the hell's Twitter for? Right? Like, you get in early, you early adopt, and then you integrate that, and that gives you a competitive advantage.
Absolutely. Like, it's always best to learn things, like, figure out how they work. I see two paths taking place, especially with conversational AI that we can talk about in a bit, but yeah. Kind of a dumbed down access point for the user to use AI, like it being installed into Meta and Facebook and Instagram and all that stuff. You can talk to their AI, but it's a really dumbed down version. And so there's going to be two parallels that take place. The average person that doesn't know anything about prompt engineering or how to give good instructions to get good results. And they're going to be using this tool for, you know, fart jokes and for, you know, how to hook up with women, right? Send messages to women. And then there's going to be people that know how to use it. And it's going to create a wide gap in the output of what these AI can do.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Can you share some specific examples, maybe with some people you've worked with or your own business, and how AI has like transformed a small business or, you know, enhanced an entrepreneur's workflow?
Absolutely. So as most, my favorite client is people that are looking to be of service to others, wellness coaches, health coaches, you know, people that are pursuing their passion and finding their audience of where they can share that. And typically they don't have any investors. They don't have any starting capital. They don't like have anything other than this drive to share. And so I want to, and we're in a very unique time where, you know, 10 years ago, good luck figuring out how to make a website. Good luck, you know, trying to build your online presence, because you have to really outsource a lot of that to contractors, and it does cost a lot of overhead. And now we can shortcut this tremendously, where when I was running my marketing agency, you know, to work with us and work with my team of six people, you know, multiple copywriters, graphic designers, website designers, I'd have to charge you $10,000 to do audience research, to, you know, clarify your offers and get these things ready for the market. And now with AI, in 2 hours, I can get done what took 3 weeks of research and paying my copywriters and researchers to do. We can do it in a rapidly faster way. I do it kind of just like this in a Zoom interview, where I can sit the person back and just ask them interview questions. I have all my marketing, you know, frameworks to walk through. And so they can just share their knowledge, and then we can leverage AI to combine that with the power of AI. And you mentioned this early on, it did hallucinate a lot, especially if you're trying to, you know, gather facts and like really test it. And it did hallucinate, but it's rapidly developed. Like, it's the most rapidly developing thing that mankind's ever seen. And two, it really knows business, and it really knows marketing, because all that knowledge was already out there in that huge data set that it was trained off of, you know, mankind using marketing and business strategy for the last 50 years. And so all of that information it knows, and it knows really well. So business and marketing, this really is a game changer, because it shortens the amount of time for you to be able to research, to be able to clarify your offers. And then, you know, with AI website builders, you can get these things built really quickly.
Yeah, I think that the best use of it is to be working in an area where you have some knowledge. Like, I think when you use it to talk about something you don't know anything about at all, or if you're a consultant, then at least your client better know what's going on, that you can look really dumb. Because you'll say some dumb things because you won't catch the errors. And so that's about making sure that you actually pay attention to what the output is. And if something doesn't sound right, or you know it's wrong, challenging the AI. And that almost always results in, actually, you're correct. You know, it spits out this new version of it. And then that ends up being more what you're looking for. Or you might have to repeat something you don't really want to repeat. I have prompts, for instance. I'll give it something to write about, and then I modify it so that it has my you know, my take added to it or certain things maybe you wouldn't think of, it saves me a tremendous amount of time. But what I never want from it, I don't want bullet points. I don't want bold type. I don't want any of that shit. Because when I drop it in WordPress, it fucks everything up, right? So it's like, don't do any of that. And then it'll spit it out. You start seeing bold and stop. But then it'll do exactly what you asked. It's just, it isn't perfect, but neither is a tape measure if you use it wrong.
Yeah, a great way to think about AI is that it's just a word predictor. Just like on your phone when you're doing text messaging, like it's coming up and trying to give you what it thinks that you need. And so, and then how to use it is just like a hyper intelligent, newly hired assistant, right? If you're running a business and you have no time, then you start interviewing for an assistant. They come in and imagine, you know, asking them questions, and they just give you incredible answers. And you're like, oh my gosh, this person's a genius. How did I get so lucky? Then you hire them, and then you're like, all right, go please run a report of last quarter's earnings and bring that together for the shareholders. And you just let this newly hired assistant, you know, go off into the office place and then come back, and you know, they're not going to do a very good job.
Yeah.
So keeping that in mind, but that person is trainable. You can give them the direction, the resources, and you know, access to data to be able to go out, you know, look at previous examples of reports, go interview this person in this department that you know was handling this before. Gathering all this information, showing them what the end result looks like, that newly hired assistant can quickly get trained to be able to be a powerhouse.
Yeah, and then I think you learn what to say to those employees to fulfill that analogy. So, you know, I might have an employee like – I had a guy used to work for me named Bobby, and I could say, Bobby, go run me a revenue report from last quarter. That's all I had to say to Bobby. But if Bobby wasn't there and Eric was there, Eric, I want you to run me a revenue report from last quarter. Make sure you include all the revenue from all the units. The first quarter began in this day on this month, right? He required a lot more input, and you get frustrated sometimes with that. But with ChatGPT, the beauty of it is when you figure out the prompt for this particular thing to get you what you want, copy and paste that shit, and throw it a text file and just have it ready to go. I have a text file with like miles of prompts in it. And I've actually started to organize more of a spreadsheet version now where I have like different things I wanted to do so I can find those prompts faster. But what's happened lately is it has like ChatGPT anyway, it's a lot longer memory of its discussions with you. So you could say literally refer back to this conversation. I'm looking for that type of thing now. And it's much better about doing that. But I think that's how you have to look at it. It's an employee that you have to direct, and it becomes better the longer you work with it.
Absolutely correct. And I'll show you an example of, incorrect prompt or instructions to give ChatGPT and then a correct one, just to give your audience an idea.
Okay.
So you could go to ChatGPT right now and say, you know, write a 20-page ebook about icebreaker handbook, right? Effective questions to start any conversations. And it will do its best to do that for you. And if you don't know about that topic, it's going to sound pretty good. But the issue is that if you go and take that to, you know, an expert in that field or on that topic, it's going to come in and cause some wobbling confidence, because you're going to give it to that expert and they're going to see that and be like, this is garbage. This is all surface level information. You can, you know, search the internet and figure this out. And so that can lead to betrayed confidence. And early on in the first year, right, people were trying it. Journalists were using it and they're like, this is garbage. Like, it's hallucinating. It's not getting facts right. And so what I teach in my AI workshops is how to get this educated confidence to be able to understand how to give good instructions so that you can then get great answers. And with the investment of that time, you're able to then reuse it like you were pointing at, right? So same thing. Here's a better instructions. Act as an SEO writer. Prepare a blog article using the PAS, the copywriting framework, on the topic of Icebreaker Handbook, audiences, working professionals at the awareness stage, use the attached style guide, ask me 5 clarifying questions before you start. That last one is probably one of the most powerful things you can ever ask ChatGPT.
That's what you tuned in today for folks, right? Write that shit down right now. That's a hack that I didn't have, and I've gotten pretty good with this. And so the clarifying questions is going to make sure that that AI, whichever unit you're using, understands what you really mean. And this is something that is, let's go back to the employee model, right? So now I've got the employee, I've told him what I think. If that employee's not an idiot, and if he is, he's getting fired next week anyway, right? It takes me about a week to figure out you got to go. But if he's not an idiot, if he doesn't understand what I said, he's going to say, okay, Mr. Spirico, let me ask you a few things to be sure I know what you're asking for. And I'm going to say, yeah, that's right. No, you don't have that. Yeah, do this. No, I really mean I want this. And he's going to give me much better results. And if you're a good manager, boss, owner, when somebody starts asking you questions like that, you don't go, God damn it. You're like, oh, great. Okay, this person actually wants to give me what I'm asking for, and they just want to be clear, right? So you have to tell it everything that you want, you know? And I have a feeling that long term, your AI that you prefer to use will get to know you and know to do that, but we're just not there yet. That's awesome, dude. That's great.
Yeah, it will get more and more intimate with getting to know you, and ChatGPT already is. Like, luckily, I have a strong moral compass, and, you know, watching great shows like yours, I'm able to kind of swing out there and figure out where the edges are. And right now, I'm really exposed with my data and privacy, but I have other options that are not connected to my workstation for, you know, a separation. And we can talk about that stuff later. But understanding prompts is the most powerful thing you could be learning right now, because, like I said, there's going to be two parallel, you know, people using AI, ones that are, you know, asking for that 20-page ebook, and then those that actually know how to create a framework to actually get great results from it. And there's a secret sauce of five examples. If you give it five examples of what you're looking for, it will be able to get you, you know, something that mimics exactly that. And adding that clarifying questions, that will give, you're coaching it to coach you, or you're coaching it to coach you to coach it. So you're able to then be able to, you know, give it the information it needs to then give you great results.
Yeah, and I've noticed that's definitely the case. You've got to be very clear with what you're looking for. And what I've been able to do with that, and this was a game changer for me, to let it write copy for me, even though I always go over and I always make some additions and changes, is I'll give it several examples of my writing and say, I want it in this voice. I want it in this style. You know, and the first time I ever did that, it wrote me like a 20-paragraph explanation analyzing my style. Like, yeah, I don't care. I just want you to, so I, you know, in my prompts now, it says analyze and do not report back to me, just to save me time. And then I'm pounding those GPUs a little bit less, and my time's less likely to run out on, you know, my daily, cause there's a daily limit on it. That's been beneficial too, is to know to say, look, don't do this.
Yeah. So for writing style, give it like some examples, like you said, analyze this, and then it's going to spit out a huge deep analyst. Then I say, condense this into a detailed paragraph. Yeah. And then it'll create something that you can save and then add to other prompts and say, right? Write in the voice of this and be able to reuse that.
Make it generate its own prompt. Because when you ask somebody to tell you what you said and they say it back and it's right, that's how you say it to them again. Like, I always say that, like, when you're dealing with cops, use their language. Don't say you slowed down, say you decelerated, stuff like that, right? Like,
right.
What are, like, when you talk to entrepreneurs, because I talk to entrepreneurs all the time, whether I want to or not, because somehow I'm like that guy. Like, I want to teach you about biochar. I want to know about my business. Oh, shit, okay. When I talk to them about AI, I get a lot of pushback, especially from people that have never used it. And it seems to me like what they think and what is real are just divergent. What are your biggest divergencies there?
Yeah, well, you know, I think the immediate thing that's been put there, maybe on purpose, is like it's going to grow into Terminator and exterminate us. And that's just not the role of this tool in this form. Like, this tool might create that someday, but the tool itself is not what it does. It's a word predictor.
So don't you ever also think if that's going to happen, whether you use it or not, that's not
You better get ahead. Yeah, you better get ahead now while you can.
It seems to me like these are the people that think if they stop watching the news, something different will happen. Like you are having no impact on us. Anyway, go ahead.
And if it was up to me, I would have like put a cap on this and waited 10 more years for humans to evolve into a bit more maturity. But okay. The truth is the genie's out of the bottle right now.
Yep.
And so we have to utilize these tools because the government is using them. Big corporations are using them. And, you know, you had a show about 3 months ago about the real dangers, and those things are real and happening all around us. And so I think that the only way forward is to be able to learn how to use this tool, you know, figure out ways to create money that you're not sacrificing your values for a paycheck so that you are and your family are stable and you're not, you know, at the whims of society. And having AI as a tool is, I think, the only way forward in doing this. And I'm working on having a private privacy protecting machine with a localized, decentralized AI system on it, because that will be sensorless or sensor proof. So as a defense mechanism against these larger models that are definitely in bed with big government, that are definitely in bed with big corporations, they have inherent biases in them. But right now, it's really important to learn them. So as a business owner, you said it in the beginning of the show, AI is not going to be taking your business or taking your job, but somebody using AI is definitely going to be taking your business or your job in the next couple of years.
I mean, I look at it this way as a small business owner, you know, and now I am pretty solo. I have like people that I outtask who I really don't have employees. But if I decided I was going to have an employee, I could have three average employees and pay them an average wage and have them do three different things. I could hire one exceptional employee. I could pay him about 1.25 his going rate. I could pay him about a quarter more, and I could give him AI tools and train them on them. And he could do the work of those three people, and he can make more money than he's going to make if he leaves me, and I can afford to pay him. And I get the same amount of work, and I do that for about a third of the money, or let's say I do it for about, you know, 35% of the money. And everybody wins that way. And if you're competing with that guy, he's going to bash your brains in because he has a lower cost to roll out content, to roll out material, to roll out product, to roll out marketing campaigns than you do. And if you're fighting that battle, you know, this is whether they try to do it or not, this is, in the end, it is capitalism. It is somewhat a free market. And if you don't, and I think this is why new businesses come on board so quickly. A brand new business is going to take the most advanced technology that's available, and they're going to grab it and use it from day one. A legacy business with a customer base is like, oh, I don't have to do that. And the longer you've been around, the easier it is to feel that way, which is why when this shit came out, I'm like, oh, I'm not ignoring this, because not some young upstart is not going to outpace me because I don't have this tool.
Exactly right. So I train workplaces in AI, and oftentimes the founders, you know, they're old school and they don't necessarily have to learn this stuff, but their management needs to stay relevant, like you said, and competitive. I think the ultimate, you know, outcome for a business owner is like the mobster who has somebody come whisper in their ear and they're able to just give them a message and then they go and carry it out. Right.
Yeah.
The owner of Patron, I found out, doesn't even have an email. And I'm like, how can you run this? And he just has his assistants now powered and leveraging AI.
Yeah.
And, you know, on the horizon are AI agents that are going to be able to go out and do things on the internet too. So utilizing all of this, you can create, you know, access to these resources while, you know, us ourselves, I know you love the outdoors and you love working with your hands.
Yeah.
We can build that lifestyle now because of what we have available to us. And it's not costing us, you know, needing to have 20 employees that kill the profit to be able to like run a business. And so this, I think, is just opening up a ton of opportunity.
Well, what I like to do with people to motivate them, I like to give them some sort of incentive structure. So if I hired that person, I have no problem saying, so here's my base revenue. Here's my growth goals. If we meet those goals, here's your little piece. And if we exceed those goals, you'd have a much bigger piece because I wouldn't have it without you, right? Now, if I give that person AI tools, they now see that as instead of I'm sucking more work out of them, I'm giving them a tool so they can make more money. And a person that doesn't want that, I don't want to work with them. Well, if I offer you a piece of revenue on growth and you don't want to do it, then you're not as good as you say you are. Because I'm not bringing you here to maintain. And I think there's one of the problems that employees really have. And I mean, this whole employee mindset is, well, I came here and I did these things and these resulted in this much revenue and I got paid too little because of that. It's like, so the things that happened to make you able to come here and do those things happened before you knew about this place existing. Somebody else did all that work. We built this customer base. You're basically not in growth mode. You're in management of existing business mode. If you want to make lots of money, then the company has to make more money. And if it doesn't, you don't get any. And this is, to me, is like, if you take this tool and that kind of a compensation package and you don't get somebody excited, there's lots of people looking for work. Talk to somebody else, you know?
Yeah, and the hourly rate really isn't going to equate to what somebody can do with AI now, right? So
no.
Yeah, I can get done in 15 minutes what used to take 3 hours. And so that incentivized offer, like what you did described, is going to be necessary to be able to inspire them to take these shortcuts in order to get greater results. Otherwise, I used to work hourly rates, man. Like, I went slow and, you know, I had to find things to do until the clock was done.
And I get paid the same no matter what happens. And as long as I do enough that I have to lose my job, I'm going to get paid the same. And so, you know, it makes me think of Office Space with Peter Gibbons. Sometimes I just sit there and stare at my screen for like 3 hours. It looks like I'm working, but I'm not actually doing anything. I don't want to pay a person to do that. What I used to say is, if I'm interviewing you for a job and I'm not concerned about you working for my competitor, then I don't want you. At this point, I'm more like, if I give you an opportunity to make a ton of money and you're not excited, I don't want you, right? Because I'm looking for somebody that wants an opportunity, not somebody that wants a job. And I think this is why I love AI so much in my business is no matter how many people like that you find, and there'll never be a lot, you'll never find anybody that cares as much as you do. Or if you do, you'll find one, and that's your golden boy, and you better not ever lose them. And you'll just be sitting there thinking, if I could clone this dude. Like, one of my good friends, he has a guy like that that's worked in his businesses for years. And he's like, if I had five of those, I'd be worth $1 billion. But I only got one. And so now you can actually start making those things if you put the effort in.
If you find those people, there's a synergy in that work that takes place where the output is way more higher quality, efficient, just because there's passion behind there and like a shared goal of, you know, success.
So what do you get with like trying to maintain like the ethical considerations too? Because here's like part of what I thought in the beginning. If I take a product that I really like and I tell ChatGPT to write sales copy about it, no matter how good it works, it actually bothers me that I didn't write it. Right. I actually take a lot of pride in my ability to write, my ability to analyze, use analogies to sell, to market, and to be able to feel good about it. Like if I sell 100 that way, I don't go, man, I hope a really good friend didn't buy it. I hope it's all people. I never feel that way. I always feel like, great. That means they're going to be happy with what they got. And when I started using it and realized, well, if I first teach it to write like me and I second go through all of it and I add and subtract whatever I wouldn't have said, or I could say like it's a little too salesy, drop it by 10%. And I'm like, I feel good about this piece, that it didn't bother me anymore. But I had to get through that because I felt like I was cheating in a way, you know, like this part of my aversion to employees anyway with copywriting. If it's a thing I'm recommending with my name behind it, I want it to be from me. But what I realized is all I'm doing is teaching it to be me in this one particular way. And then I'm still going to look at it. Are there any other things like that you've had to go through with people because they're worried that somehow what they're doing is unethical?
So two prong. One, I've always never paid or never asked for my self-worth when working with clients. I had a horrible track record of undercutting myself and, you know, bringing a low bid to projects. And with AI, I was able to then go to, you know, the model and say, you know, what's the average market rate for this project? and it will then go out, do its research, come back and be like, oh, that's a lot more than I was about to undercut myself. And I got a family, I got a 6-year-old. And so I had to learn, you know, to ask for my own self-worth in order to be able to do what I do. Then secondly, the AI models have, remind me of the question again. I totally got lost.
I'm asking you about the ethics involved, ethical considerations. Like, how do you stay ethical? And do you have any people you work with that kind of worry about that? And how do you guide them?
There's a rule of 10-80-10 that I always follow. 10% is your instructions and your input. 80% now is AI and doing its processing. And then the last 10 is always you looking it over, adjusting it, putting in, you know, humanizing it once again. And you don't want to skip that end result, because if you start putting things out, you're going to, you know, put out mistakes, you're going to put out errors, and it can come across as not being, you know, human. And so it will really hurt your brand. So always knowing that there are human components for each of these AI tasks from the beginning to the end, you know, gives me a lot of control over, you know, what feels right before putting out there.
Yeah, because that was my other thing. I never wanted somebody to look at it and go, that's AI, just instantly. And because I could, I figured other people could. And I'm like, well, it might, you know, back to your 10-80-10, it might fool 80% of the people, but the 20% of the people are my best customers, right? And I don't want them turned off like Jack's just throwing AI shit at us. But I mean, I use it all the time now. But again, I like that. I don't know if that ratio is exactly accurate, but it sounds close. Like, there's a lot going into it, and then it does the meat, and then there's a lot of kind of like having somebody break down an animal into quarters for you, but you're making the primals down into cuts. Like, that piece has to come into it.
Yeah, and I think public perception of this is changing now. You know, a year ago, it really was cringy what it was putting out, and it's just getting better and better and more refined, and people are learning how to use it more. So my copywriting, which that was always a component I had to outsource. Copywriting was a difficult skill to develop. And, you know, I take pride in my marketing, but copywriting was something I always had to outsource. And now I've been able to really learn copywriting because, you know, this gets me, you know, almost there. And then I can come in and massage it. And I still, you know, it might spit something out in 2 minutes, but then I'll spend a half hour, you know, just getting it right and seeing how it feels on the receiving end. And where before I just put up my hands, I was like, oh, I don't know how to do this. I need to pay somebody to do it.
It's interesting that you have two people with a solution with totally different issues. My issue was I was really good at it. So when I hired somebody to do it, I was always like, this is fucking garbage. And it wasn't I can fix it. It's I'll just do it myself. So then I stopped hiring people to do it because nobody could do it, at least in my brain, as good as I could. And so they either were just not very good or it was so sleazy car salesman.
Salesy, yeah.
Right? It's like, you know, the long copy and get this and that and blah, blah, blah. Back of the book marketing basically taken to the extreme. And I'm like, well, I don't want that, and I don't want it to suck, so I guess I got to do it. And it was like, I'm like, oh, wait, I can actually teach an employee, ChatGPT, to write like me? No, that can't possibly work. And the first time I gave it examples and said to do it, it was 80% there. And it's only gotten better since then, and I've gotten better at asking it to do it the way that it'll understand. I've learned that, like, don't give it a sample of your writing. Give it 3 or 4. You know, and then, but I love this clarifying questions. Are there any clarifying questions? Give me 5 clarifying questions. Let me answer them.
Giving your own antidotes, you know, making it genuine with your own experience. So you can word salad, you know, an experience of how this is relevant for you. And it cleans it up really nice and adds that to that, you know, with a marketing background, translating features into benefits, which most business owners, they know the features of their business, like the back of their hand, but the benefits of how that actually impacts their audience that's like word magic that, you know, copywriters are paid good money for. And so being able to use these methods really gives you an empathetic, a connecting piece of copy that you're able to put in front of people that I think has, you know, a lot of potential.
here's an example of that in real world, you know, a copywriting situation. Let me switch over to a different tab here. So I recently brought this product out and reviewed product. Everything I'm about to read to you is absolutely true, but ChatGPT wrote it. It's this Olietta olive oil dispenser bottle. It says, I've been through more olive bottles than I care to admit, and if I'm honest, it's mostly because I've got butterfingers. My first olive oil bottle was a beautiful ceramic piece that my wife Dorothy accidentally knocked off the counter. Oops! Then there was a second one, another ceramic beauty, smashed to pieces by a well-meaning staff member at one of my events. The third, well, that one's on me. I was outside cooking on a flat top, showing off my skills, and, well, gravity won again. That's all true. And what I did is I told it that happened, and I said, I actually think I almost played a little bit kind of like, and if there was a little humor in that story, it would be good. And that's the paragraph that came out of those inputs. And I read that and I went, I might have wrote it a little differently, but I would have written it any better. And it sounds like me because it's based on me. And I think that's the kind of thing that, like, if you think that's cheating, just understand, I'm back to what I said. The people you're competing against with, they're going to use it. And they're going to beat your brains in because you can't move as fast as them.
That's right. I'm sure you had 20 other things to be doing at that time. So being able to like shortcut it and like check that box off so you're able to move on to the next thing, that's where you're able to like actually move mountains.
And the day that came out, had I not had that tool, it wouldn't have happened that day. I would have recycled another item, and we're coming up on Christmas. I'm like, this has to get done. Grab the prompt, massage it, throw it in, boom, out it comes. And that took a 2-hour job into a 15-minute job. That's an hour and 45 minutes that day. And that day, it wasn't one of my typical days. I worked like 6 o'clock at night, you know, and my commute is literally down the hall. So if I work till six, there's no fucking off, right? There's no water cooler. There's no hanging out with other people. There's no 2 hours it was driving to work. If I work till six, from six in the morning, that's 12 straight hours of work. And if I do that, there wasn't any other time.
Well, and let's like really break it down. That's time that you weren't able to spend with your family doing before. Right? Because as most entrepreneurs, you got a family inside waiting on you and you're like, oh, I just got to get this email out. And now you're able to just like get it done, have it communicate the way you want it, and then go get your time back and be able to hang out with the family.
So what is one AI tool or strategy everybody that's building a business anyway should start using today?
All right. There's one that just came out recently called Notebook LM. It's actually the first good Google product in, I don't know, 10, 15 years. Okay. I'm gonna show you what it could do because this can really help you, Jack, with all the research and what you do each week. So it's essentially just what it sounds like. It's a notebook. And inside that notebook, you're able to add sources to this, just like, you know, pages inside of the notebook. And this thing is so powerful that you can add 50 different sources to it. And this thing accepts like everything. So you can drag and drop PDFs, text message, markdown, even audio MP3s, or connect it to your Google Drive if you use that and be able to grab those documents, which are nice because then they can be living documents. You can continuously refine them. But then down here, as you can see, websites, you can just drop a whole website into this. You can drop a whole YouTube video or just copy and paste things and drop it right here. And as you can see on the left, these are the sources that I've added in for this. Your podcast, the top 10 real dangers of AI is in here. Same with Mark Anderson that just came out talking about the government monopoly on AIs. So this is a closed system that only focuses on your sources. And then down here, you can ask it questions, right? And it has some suggestions right here to get that going. And it only focuses on the closed system of sources that you add it. You can add, you know, reports. You can add PDF books on the subjects. And this then gives you what you're asking for and cites where in the sources this information came from. And you can do amazing things with it. I've been teaching people how to, you know, to like use it as a tutor to be able to teach you things and how to understand the fundamentals and then be able to, you know, direct a study guide from there to be able to learn it step by step, rapidly. And they kind of silently added another feature up here, just in the last few weeks, and it's an audio overview. And this, when it came out, blew everyone's minds that A, it was so effective, but two, how good it is at teaching things, because it creates a AI podcast. Now, Jack, I don't think you're in any danger, as you might hear from this, but what it's really good at is a conversational podcast on a topic. And so you can, you know, be interested in a topic, do a deep dive, grab the fundamentals, hit this audio overview, hop in the car, go for a drive, and then listen to these two AI podcasters rehash the information you were just learning.
Huh. Is it? Were you going to play it, or are you waiting for me?
Oh, it's not coming across, huh?
No.
All right. Well, think of an NPR style podcast where there's two people just talking back and forth in a conversational way. And for me, in my brain, you know, we've all been trained to, you know, absorb podcasts. And so I'm able to get this like starting place for knowledge and then be able to attach more complex information on top of it that I can continue and rapidly learn.
I'm wondering, so there is a website called Biochar Today, and they do a podcast that I absolutely can tell is using AI to drive it. And I'm wondering if I can play it and you can tell us if this is the same voice that we would have got if that would have worked from your end. Let me.
All right. I figured out the audio. This should work now.
Okay. Go ahead and try it. Let me get it back up on the
deep dive. You know, AI is like the topic right now, and we're diving right in.
Totally.
We've got excerpts from a couple of books. They're all about AI dangers and a really cool YouTube interview with Martin Drewson.
Yeah, you can kill it. Okay.
Articles on AI.
It's literally it.
Yeah. Listen. So they haven't given you the option to change the voices, so they are becoming quite popular.
They're not messing around either. They've already removed. Hold on, let me check my notes. Ah, yes, 25 tons of
CO2. It's the same people.
And they've got these ambitious goals, you see, to sequester.
So I've been able to, you know, start a Spotify account and be able to create podcasts and just create content. And as a brand, you know, SEO and just creating as much content around a topic, that's useful. Everybody's going to figure out this is AI, but you know, as a tool to learn is unprecedented of being able to rapidly digest information. And especially with being able to talk to those sources,
you can
tear through research in 15, 20 minutes, which used to take 3 hours of going out and scouring the internet for some relevant sources.
So this one I knew was AI, and when I was 100% sure was one a listener told me it was. He's like, yeah, you're right. But the other one was the one that just came out last week. It starts repeating itself. It's like they wanted it to be 15 minutes and they didn't have 15 minutes worth of shit. So it just started repeating the same stories over and over again. I'm like, now I know for sure. But the way they're using it, they may need some operator adjustment. It's actually perfect for what they're doing. This is a website that's a news site that puts out these stories every week about all these things happening with biochar all over the world. This company did this research. This company did that research. And all they really want to do is give an audio synopsis of the articles they've published. Since they're, for all I know, AI's writing the fucking articles too, but it's kind of a great way to be able to disseminate that information. And even though I know it's AI, I still listen. It's like a 10, 15 minute show once a week. I still listen to it because I can quickly do that while I'm doing something else. And this is why I chose podcasting as my profession, even though we do video now. I mean, I did audio only for like 12 years. And to this day, like 95% of my people are audio users. They're not video people. Because it is the most powerful form of marketing on the planet. I don't know if you remember, but if you go back pre-internet, marketers would spend a shitload of money to have like 1,000 cassette tapes made, promoting something like a 1-hour radio show on a tape, and then buy mailing lists and mail that shit out, because they knew if you were bored as fuck, tired of listening to the radio, you could slap that shit in your tape deck, and while you were driving in your car, you would listen to their sales pitch. And I'm like, so that's if you think about it, it's the only form of marketing. And it is everything's marketing in a way. If you're telling a story, you're marketing. It is the only form of marketing that is truly multitasking. You can't really but you can't really focus on a video and drive a car. You can't really read a book and drive a car. But you can drive a car, or you can put headphones in while you're doing your mindless bullshit at work or whatever, or when you're out in the garden, or when you're running on a treadmill or working out at the gym, or, you know, tending your garden, and you can listen to information. And I don't have time to sit down and read their articles, but I can. And if it starts recycling, okay, I'm done with that. I'm done. So to me, even though I know exactly what they're doing, it's still useful. And now I know how they're doing it. What was that site called again?
Notebook LM. It's free right now. And yeah, it's an incredible, powerful tool.
I'm going to put that there so I don't forget. Okay. That's awesome, man. Thanks for sharing that. And it's just funny. I was like, as soon as you said, I'm like, I bet you that's where this shit's coming from. That's crazy.
Yeah, it popped up about 2 months ago, so you'll hear it, and I'm sure they're going to come out with more voices soon. But yeah, even still, you know, as a solopreneur or a small business, I'm sure they dream of having a podcast because it's great traffic. But, you know, the skill to learn to podcast, the equipment to get, right? Like, there's a huge, steep learning curve. Then you've got to have 50 crappy episodes to be able to start, you know, knowing what you're doing. All of that can be, you know, sidestepped with just generating this content like the other people have, which is useful for the audience.
I have this PDF that's like 150 pages, and it's a Bill Mollison lecture. It's a series of Bill Mollison lectures from the 80s. I could drop that shit in there and basically make it podcast to me Bill Mollison's wisdom from 40 years ago in a way that I have time to consume it. Because I've read the thing 100 times, but there's a different way that we receive information when we're listening versus reading, right?
And especially when you're busy, your motor skills are busy, just like driving or doing, you know, yard work, it just bypasses your prefrontal cortex, and I think just gets in.
I think another use for tools would be things like, there's times I have an article and it's maybe a 2-minute read, and I hate being on the air and reading and using AI tools to read that article so that I can like have a sip of coffee because I don't have a guest that day, you know, or whatever, as long as it doesn't sound like super robotic. And that's what I like about you right now. I think most of the voiceover stuff, you can still like, that's probably AI. There's something about it that's just different, but it no longer sounds like you have 2 new messages, right? It's not like that anymore. Like, the reason I knew that, or to kind of key in that one probably was, the chick voice in that kept doing this at the end of a sentence, you see. So it's like this, and you see, and it's like, that is so fucking annoying. Nobody is consciously that annoying. And I'm like, this is either read by people who don't know anything, they're just voice actors, or it's AI. But that's really cool, and I can see it getting better.
So this is where we're at today, Jack.
Yeah, yeah.
I was able to train a voice model on my own voice, and this is called 11 Labs. They're really at the frontier of voice generation, but check this out.
Oh, you probably need me to.
Slows down and stays rock solid for over a decade. Sounds like sci-fi, right? Nope. Here, let's face it. Your current setup, it's a digital dumpster fire. But what if there was a way out? Hi, I'm your holistic tech. Still a little bit of a, you know, glitchiness to it, but it hits my mannerisms like dead on. And they have an app where you can just grab any text and just throw it into their reader, and you get to listen to a nice voice. So I don't read articles much anymore.
Yeah, I think honestly, I would probably pick like a cool sounding voice instead of my own for that application, right? Reading an article on air. That way I can sit here and drink coffee, and I'm the little man in the screen while the article's up, and people know what I'm doing. But I think it's a cool, you could use it however you want. How do you, cause like the thing about this is, if you go too far with it, you start to lose that human touch, right? I think it was Rick Springfield, we all need the human touch, right? Like, so how do we keep that in what we're doing so that the person doesn't feel like they're being pitched by a computer or they're have, you know, they actually appreciate the work that goes into doing all this and understand there is a human on the other end of it.
Well, you can do what I did and marry someone who really doesn't like this stuff. And so she keeps me in check pretty good. And other than that, I think the way of the future are personalized brands and being able to connect with a face and someone you trust, just like you and like the products that you normally put out. That's more valuable, and especially in this, you know, massive online ecosystem economy that we've all been shoved into, that's more valuable than trusting these, you know, faceless large corporations. And now with AI, all the tasks it takes to become a brand and to become a personal brand, you know, all these things can be manageable so that you can be a trusted person.
Yeah, I think that it's going to create an opportunity for those that do it that way, because I think we are going to move to a point where most of what is being put out is AI generated, and it's going to feel AI generated. And even if it gets to the point where it can fool people, we will catch up to it and we'll know that's AI generated. Like, I think some people have an ear or an eye for it already, but like, as it gets better and better, you're like, okay, is that real or not? But sooner or later, but if you are putting the effort in to still be genuine, even though you're using it for some of your tasks, not all of them, it's going to be kind of like you can go buy a guitar that will sound just fine, that was made in a factory, or you can go buy a guitar that was made by a guy in a little workshop. And they might sound pretty much the same, but the guitarist that loves guitars is going to much prefer the one that was handcrafted. And they're going to want that, and they'll pay a premium for it because it's handcrafted. Or you can go to the store, you can buy a cookie, or you can get a cookie from grandma down the road. Let's be honest. What cookie do you want? You want the one that's exactly right. It's got the same amount of chips. The thing splooged it out at the exact size so they all fit in the box the same. Or do you want the one with a few lumps in it that grandma threw, and this one has 8 chips and this has 4? You want grandma's freaking cookie. And I think it's going to be the key is to be able to, like, grandma might use a stand mixer instead of sitting there like this, but she's still the operator, and it's still clear that grandma's making the cookie. And that's the kind of like an artisanal level thing that we need to start having in our content creation and let the big guys go nuts with it, because eventually we'll even have a greater advantage.
Yeah, they're already cramming AI into Salesforce. And so, you know, on a corporate level, it is going to be all AI generated. And to combat that, there's already a human creator economy taking place where, you know, they'll put stamps on their products saying, you know, only human made this.
Yeah.
And people are going to pay more for that and gravitate to that. I'm in the middle, you know, the hybrid, to where, you know, you can join my newsletter and learn about the value I'm offering, and then, you know, be able to make it into a live Q&A with me. Come yep. see me live or something like that. And that's where the real connection is going to take place. Same with like bands, right? There's really good AI generated audio that's already available right now, but there are never going to be AI rock concerts.
No. That's so old, but there was this dude, I think his name on YouTube is Sir Mash-a-Lot. And he took like the top 6 country songs from a year. I think it was like 2017 or 2016 or something. And he put them all together in a timeline as a single song. And it was so, even though people were making that music, it was so cookie cutter. It just flowed through the whole thing. It sounded like one song. Then he took a formula. He used an artificial voice generator and took the formula that those songs were based on and made a new song. And it would have, if you would have put it on country music, on a station, it would have been a top 40 song. I guarantee you it would have hit the top 40 easy. It might have been a top 10. But you were never going to go to a concert and see the man behind it or the band behind it, right? And that's kind of that, when you talk about like a hybrid, like I can see bands using these tools, because you get, like, if you're a creative person, you get into writing, whether it's a song, a poem, ad copy, whatever, you get a book, you get to a sticking point. And just even being able to unclog that sticking point, like, where do I go from here? Here's where I'm at now. Act as a think tank for me and give me five ideas. And you might even go, four of those suck. This one's, and I find this all the time. I'll say, give me five ideas or 10 ideas. It'll give it to me. And I'll like, these all suck. Number six is interesting, but it's not there yet. Expand on number six. And you start treating it like an employee that you can't insult or work too hard. And you get much better results. Like, you can tell it, like, if you're just pissed, it's cathartic too. Shut the fuck up. Okay. Right. Like, I was using the audio version where you talk to it. It talks back to you. The other day, and I had an earpiece in, and my grandson started asking me stuff. And I don't remember what I was talking to it about, but he was asking me about his pitching machine. It started telling me about pitching machines. I'm like, will you shut the fuck up until I tell you to talk again? And it's like, yes, I will do that. Like, this is excellent. This is an employee that you can abuse and it never goes to HR.
Have you tried the new Vision feature on the advanced voice mode?
No, Vision.
All right, yeah, man, this is another game changer. So, go to advanced voice.
Okay.
See if he's gonna work with me today. Hey, can you hear me?
I can hear you loud and clear. How can I help you today?
All right. So I am. I'm looking at a problem on my screen. Can you describe what it is that you see?
I see a diagram of a right triangle with one angle labeled 35 degrees.
All right, can you tutor me like I'm 10 years old on like how to solve this problem?
Sure. We can start by identifying
the
side opposite the 35 degree angle is called the opposite side. The side next to it? That's not the hypotenuse, is the adjacent side. The longest side is the hypotenuse.
All right, stop right there. Thank you.
Oh, shit. So, if you're a homeschooler and you're not using this, what are you even doing? You know what I mean? Like, because there's points where you're like, I know what to do, but I don't know how to explain it.
So I have a six-year-old daughter, right? And so education, homeschool, she's been going to, you know, outdoor schools her whole life. This is really an important topic for me. And, you know, because my wife is kind of a Luddite, it's great. We have good discussions, but I know she's going to be perfectly fine because she's going to have an AI tutor with unlimited patience, unlimited knowledge, unlimited understanding that like guides her to figure things out instead of A, making her memorize things to take tests, B, you know, squashing the desire to learn out of her. She loves horses. So, you know, make everything about horses. She'll be entertained for hours. And so she's going to be just fine because you can now, yeah, point it at whatever it is that you want to talk about and share the screen on the phone or tablet. So it can just follow along with what you're learning at your own pace, you know, with that patience that, you know, every teacher who's teaching 30 kids has a tipping point and loses.
Well, and they also can't tailor it to every kid. Like, it'd be unreasonable for you to expect that. But you're like, you had a little girl and she's into My Little Pony. You could say, like, explain what nouns are, but tell me a story about My Little Pony explaining what nouns are. Right? And then all of a sudden this kid's interested because it's about their little pony, whatever it is, you know, or baseball, or, you know, for me it would have been snakes or something when I was a kid, right? Like, and then that way, I've always said that, like, when you're trying to teach a kid, that kid could learn literature by reading a fucking comic book if you're a good teacher. The problem is there's no way you can tell an English teacher in seventh grade, teach Billy using a comic book, teach Tommy using a book about baseball, teach Susie using a book about whatever Susie's into, and do that for every single kid, right? But you can do that here. And I've found it to be an amazing teaching tool. I've also found it to be a great teaching tool, and I think I know what I'm talking about, and I give it a bunch of information. I say, now give me a 30-question multiple-choice quiz. At the end of each answer, after I give an answer to each one, stop and tell me if I'm right or wrong, and if I'm wrong, why I'm wrong. Like that type of thing. And that's been incredibly useful, even like getting ready to do a speaking engagement. Like, I'll say, give me, here's my presentation, and I'll drop it in and say, give me 20 questions that I'm likely to be asked by an audience that's informed about this topic, or give me 10 questions about this topic that I'm likely to be asked by an audience who's not familiar with it. And those give you a lot of ability to, like, that way you start hearing the question, like, I've already got that. I'm already working that. You know what I mean? It's like, even if you don't come up with the answer right away, you just read the questions, there's this background process the human brain runs when you insert a problem, and all questions are problems, that your brain is already kind of working on that, if that makes sense.
Yeah, like when you're in the shower, your brain's just like chomping on problem solving. That's what it does. So being able to customize that, direct that, and, you know, make it in the framework of what you're already interested in, I think is priceless with cultivating the desire to learn that normally is squashed out in public school.
Yeah, because, you know, math was always a struggle for me because I don't care. What's X? Don't give a shit, right? Like, when I started taking advanced accounting courses, I always knew what X was because X was money. I care about money. I don't care about some random X, especially when I've done 18 problems and it was all X and I already know how to do it and now I'm still doing it. Well, now I'm bored, right? Because there's nothing in it for me. I don't get anything out of this. And I think we have so many people that are really smart. They don't do that great in school because they're bored, right? Or they're really smart about these five subjects and these other three they don't give a fuck about. And you need to know that. No, I don't. I had a guy years and years ago that was an unschooler, and he said humans learn what they need to learn when they need to learn it. And I think there's some things maybe you should learn in advance, like how to do CPR or something. You don't have to tell me how to do, like, that's not a good idea. But most of these things that we're teaching kids in school, I've never been able to look at my son or my grandchildren with a straight face and say, you're going to need this someday, unless I believed it. And most of the time, I don't believe it.
Especially with how rapid things are changing. Like, people don't understand what's happening, you know, just in the last few years. And now with AI getting integrated into everything, it's really difficult to predict where we're going to be in as a civilization in 5 years. Hopefully, you know, all thriving and prospering. But we really, like, me as a parent, I can't take the experience I learned in public school 25 years ago and apply it to my daughter. Like, those things, A, they were broken to begin with, but B, they have no relevance in today's climate.
Yeah, I mean, basic mathematical order of operations has helped me because when I'm doing a business plan, I can build a spreadsheet and I know how to put in a formula that'll give me the information I need. That's useful. Accounting, like I said, accounting's been a great thing that's helped me understand things that I didn't learn, like certain tax things I understand better because I have an accounting background. Most of this shit I learned is useless. It's absolutely useless to me. And a lot of it, if I had gone a different way in my profession, would have been useful. But the person that went that way, the things that I got that are useful to me are freaking useless to them. They don't give a shit. The guy that's an engineer that's designing like an intake valve, he doesn't care about accounting. Maybe he should, but he doesn't. He doesn't have to. And that's just the reality. And think about where we're going to be. You said in 10 years, 15 years. Think about where we're going to be compared to this device right here, this smartphone. I'm sure you remember this in school. You know, Joshua, you are just not going to have a calculator everywhere you go. Remember that? Well, shit, now what do we have everywhere we go?
Like, calculator that talks.
The calculator is a joke compared to what this device right here, even without ChatGPT or some other AI tool, what I can do with this device 5 years ago, I don't need you for anything anymore. I can figure out whatever I need to figure out, basically, unless it's something that requires time and practice to become good at. If you want to learn to carve wood, you can look up a lot of YouTube videos on wood, but you're going to take time and practice to be good at carving wood. And some people have the artistic attributes and kind of the intellect and the intuition to be good at art. Me? No. I can see shit. I mean, I can see things in my mind. I can look at a deck that somebody put in and go, it's quarter inch low on the left corner, and fuck, it is, right? Like, I have that kind of vision, and I can see that in my head almost like a rotating. I still can't draw it, right? So different people have different skill sets, and I think AI is going to help us maybe branch out and beef up the skill sets we're weak in so that we can use our primary skill sets for the things that are most useful and unique to us, right? Like, if we ever got to, I don't know that I'll ever let Elon put a chip in my brain, but if we ever got to a point where I was okay with it, if I could see it and somehow mentally transmit it and make something make it, I could make some cool shit. I'm not willing to do that, but people ask me about that. And here's how I feel about that. Let's say I'm sitting in a wheelchair and I can't wipe my own ass. I'll risk it, right? I'll risk it because that's what they're supposedly for. I'll risk it for that, but
That's where my line is too. I'm not putting any tech inside my body. And VR, I've actually vowed never to do VR again in this lifetime because of how realistic and, you know, Ready Player One that can go. But augmented glasses are glasses that you put on and it augments virtual reality over what you're seeing. That I have a little bit of an opening of being curious about that, because like you said, with the porch, right? Being able to put on the glasses and be like, oh, there's my line.
Yeah. Right?
There's a lot of good benefits.
Can I turn it off? That's my benefit. But like I said, when people say, well, I would never do it, I'm like, if you were sitting in a wheelchair steering it with your mouth and it could let you walk again, you might feel a little bit different. And that, you know, hopefully we're going to get there. I think we've already had some progress in that world. That's not really what we're on. What are some things, or maybe what's the most surprising way that you've seen somebody use AI to solve a problem in their business?
Well, kind of the biggest problem is overwhelm for most business owners.
Okay.
So just being able to get them, out of overwhelm to where they're kind of frozen and like the business is running, it's making money, but they really can't examine any of it. That's probably the most beneficial thing to help them with their workflow and help them with their emails and how they're processing, so they're not bogged down, so that they're able to like get some clarity to be able to examine, you know, areas of their business. And, without the skills of really, you know, some people know how to, you know, make a checkout, make an offer and make money, but then accounting and, you know, those other areas of running a business that you used to have to spend $100,000 to hire somebody to be an expert in that department for your business, you know, you can learn the basics of that now with AI to like understand like, oh, this is accounting, this is my expenses, this is how I'm able to track these things and take responsibility instead of just living in overwhelm and, you know, having a business that's making money but you don't know really how.
Yeah. You're giving me a flashback now. I'm going to go back to before the podcast when I was working with a gentleman named Neil Franklin. And before I even really worked with him, he was a client of mine before I ended up his partner. And I was working for a web development and marketing company. And he was about to fire them. He had given up on them. They were so insistent on selling design, they weren't hearing what he had to say. He really wanted branding. He wanted messaging. He wanted a strap line. That's what he was really there for. And so they come and they get me to come talk to him. And I walk in and they've got like 9 people in there from this company and Neil sitting in the center because it's his company. And they all start yammering. And I'm like, okay, stop. And I went to the first person on the left and said, tell me what your company does in a paragraph. And I listened and I made a few notes and you're done. And I went and I interviewed these 7 people. And I looked at it and I said, so you're really not sure what you do, but everybody has a piece of this. I need you guys to give me a week and come back and I'll have your messaging for you. And I'm going to have to think about this. So they come back in and I've got 1 piece of paper, 3 paragraphs, and starting each paragraph is a different A. Analyze, apply, achieve. And I said, I know you think you know what you do, but this is what you do. This is your messaging. And I handed it to Neil. And he goes, the British dude, yeah, right. That's it, isn't it? Where's the other 2 you're supposed to give me? You're supposed to give me 2. Like, I don't do that. Right? So he leaves. He thinks I own the fucking company now just because of the way I handled it. And I'm just going, man, if I was still in that phase, if I could just sit there and have them talking to my phone and then say, summarize in 3 paragraphs what this company actually does based on what everybody said, I guarantee you that final result is not what I would hand back to a client. But I'd get to it a hell of a lot faster. I could have got to it in a couple hours instead of a week. It took me a week to get to it. You know,
writing proposals for people that come looking for help for me used to take up to an hour, just putting that proposal together, having a meeting, going over what needs they have, their challenges that they're trying to overcome. And now I transcribe everything. So I'm able to literally just grab the transcription and come up with a personalized strategy based upon exactly what they're looking for. In about 5 minutes.
I think the day you decided to put in an app to come on the show was the one where I was doing the voice I think you caught that episode. I had the phone and I was just like brainstorming. I do that every day now on a subject. When I do my morning walks, I sit there and I talk to ChatGPT about a thing. And I'm going to say about 20% of the time, it's useless to me on the subject I want to talk to about that. It just, but boy, the 80%, and what does it cost me? Like as soon as I realized like this is not a subject I really can talk to ChatGPT about today. I'm not going to get what I want out of it. I either go to something else or I listen to a podcast or an audiobook or something and I just get my work done. But the amount of ideas, the mind expansion that I get out of the 80% that's productive, holy crap. And I do think it will get better over time. It will continue to get better. Are there some potential risks, challenges that people should watch for when you're using this, especially in a business? Because, you know, if you use it for something you're just playing around with and it doesn't work, whatever. You know, my revenue is tied to what I do. Like I pay my mortgage. I buy my groceries. I feed my grandchildren. I pay their tuition for their homeschool program out of what I do. I don't want to fuck it up.
Yeah. One major concern is privacy and intellectual property. If you're running a business and wanting to use these tools, ChatGPT and OpenAI, they do have on the free plan, you don't have any choice. It's going to be using your information to train its own model.
Yeah.
But as soon as you start paying for it with the plus plan, or if you're really concerned, you can buy the enterprise plan, and they promise not to use any of your data to train their model. So you should have a closed system. And, you know, they're a big corporate government that is working alongside with the government. So you can trust that as much as you want. But there are, you know, decentralized AI systems. They're like 6 months behind progress where the current top models are. And so I think this next year, we're going to be able to literally have our own localized AI system on our device that has access to our data that is not sending it off to a cloud. So that's going to be a real good opportunity for everybody to feel comforted about their data not being harvested or used. But for right now, you know, they promise not to be using your information. You can just toggle it on in the settings.
So I think like another place to be really careful is legal shit. Legal shit changes all the time. Legal shit changes by jurisdiction. You may have a local jurisdictional issue that you're not aware of. There's a lot of things that, you know, are not necessary. So like what I've always done when I have a contract, I will always try to get the other party to provide the contract, because a basic common law principle is if there's any ambiguity in a contract, it benefits the party that didn't draft it. So if I get you to do it and then I can send it to my attorney, great. If I can't because of whatever reason, then I'm pretty good at contract writing after all the years. I'll write the contract and then I'll hand it to my attorney and say, what did I miss? What do I got wrong? How do I make sure? And then I will pay that attorney $300 instead of $3,000 to make the contract for me. And so I see if you're doing a legal contract, especially like something that you just, to me, 90% of the contract is never used because it is just so we understand each other. 10% in case, and I don't mean of the volume, I mean the reason behind it. If you and I have a contract and I say, you know, Josh, you agreed you would do this. And you say, that's not what I said. And we say, page 17, what does it say? And I'm either like, fuck, you didn't say you would do that. Or you're like, oh, I did agree to do. You're right. Yeah, okay, fine. But then there's that 10% where you end up in court. Or if it's my contract, you end up in non-binding arbitration followed by binding arbitration and no state involvement. But being able to have ChatGPT draft that contract based on your prompts, then go through it just like you would a piece and then hand that to your lawyer. Now you've sped up your piece of that and your lawyer might end up being a better lawyer because ChatGPT might have some ideas that maybe he needs to use his legal mind to refine. But the reason I bring that up is there was a bunch of young lawyers that got fucking fired because they were preparing their briefs and shit using ChatGPT, and they weren't going back over them. They were very
judge caught them.
Yeah, Gen Z lawyer. Like, I don't want a Gen Z lawyer. I want a tough old bastard Gen X lawyer, man.
Yeah, I've done exactly that. Operations agreement. I didn't have them in my previous businesses, and this one, I'm like, all right, I'm doing this. And so I just went out, found some examples, gave it that question. You know, ask me 5 clarifying questions. What needs to be on here? And then answered those questions, it fleshed it all out. I'm a part of a Legal Shield, so I was able to send that document to them and be like, hey, am I at risk of anything on here? And they got back to me. They called me, you know, an hour later, and they're like, this looks pretty good. I was like, all right, great. But also in defense as well. So you can, you know, if somebody sends you a contract, you can throw it in ChatGPT and tell me, you know, where I'm at risk with this contract, and you can simplify that and terms of service that no one has ever read in their lives.
Yeah, your privacy policy page on your website, I'm sure it could do a decent job with that for you too. Your refund fund policy might be another one that you can take this refund policy that I wrote that's too long that nobody will read it, and change it into something that somebody will read. Make it shorter, but don't leave anything important out, like things like that.
It's way cheaper for the lawyers because they just got templates too. They just reach in their drawer, pull out their template, charge you $3,000. But if you come at them with something, they'll be like, oh, yeah, I'll review it and charge you a couple $100.
Yeah. And I think if you have an attorney you use all the time for shit like that, they get to the point where they're like, I'm not going to overbill this guy because his contracts are pretty damn good anyway. They, for all I know, some of my contracts have become their templates. You know, if someone's new to AI and they're like, I do want to integrate this into my business, but they've never touched it, or maybe they've just played with it a little bit, kind of what would be their first starts that you would say that would probably be a good idea for them, places to use it?
Yeah, I've got some courses that are really geared towards beginners that you can check out on my website, joshuahale.io. And it'll give you just walkthrough videos of me showing you how to use it. But the quick answer is just go to chat.com that OpenAI paid $15 million for, and it will pop open ChatGPT free version. You don't have to sign up or anything. You can just start talking to it. And the most important thing is use it every day. Like you only get a limited amount of free every day, but find ways to, you know, start using it, because this is it will teach you the capabilities that it has just by coming to it with different ideas, different, you know, prompts, different instructions. And a guy named Seth Godin, marketer, he said this is the most important invention since electricity. And if you're not using it a little bit each day, you don't understand where society is going to diverge, because people are going to be your competitors using it. And just by using it a little bit each day, you're going to learn like how it can benefit you in your life.
I think to use it every day is probably the most important piece of advice that you could give somebody today, because even these other things, like I said, the clarifying questions, that's a huge, that's going to help me because I'm going to be able to use it better now. But when you use it every day, you're going to find shit like that, that other people don't know. Like sometimes people will ask me like, the intro to your podcast, like, do you script that? I'm like, I don't script shit. Like, well, how do you do it? I'm like, if you do something for 16 fucking years, you'll be good at it too. Especially if you do it every day or every work day for 16 years, you're going to get good at something. And so, and that's, it's across the board. I don't care what the skill is. Back when I first started out in the professional world, I was in telecom and I did optical fiber. And you take these little tiny connectors and you shove this little piece of glass there and you cut it off with a diamond, you lift it off, and then you have to base, it's essentially it's sanding. They call it polishing, but it's really, really intricate sanding. And you get to a point where you can, like, in 30 seconds have this connector beautifully perfect. It'll test perfectly. And then you go to train somebody how to do it. And everything they do looks exactly right. But there's little tiny different things that you do with your fingers that change the pressure that you look, but you only learn that because you've done, you know, the one job I did at 20,000 connectors. I could do it in my sleep after that. I didn't even have to think about it anymore. But a new person would take weeks of fucking around and fucking, you're like, you look at it in the scope and you go, no. And they're like, yeah, it does. Let's test it. You know, and it's like a dB and a half a loss. You're like, bro, that's not good enough. That doesn't pass. No. But I think that it doesn't matter what you're doing. It could be podcasting, swinging a baseball bat, you know, whatever. Doing it every day is critical to becoming really proficient with something. And just, you know, if nothing else, ask it a question once a day, right? Of something that's important to you, and then have a little bit of a conversation with it and see where it goes from there. And I would say that, like, people should check your site out and look at some of your courses as well, because you've given a lot of value today.
Thanks, Jack. I got one more little thing to show you.
Okay.
And you and your audience, I'll be able to send this to you afterwards.
Okay.
As a service, I'm able to help out business owners by interviewing them and helping them come up with a business strategy leveraging AI. But I've developed this prompt library system using Notion. Are you familiar with Notion?
Nope.
So Notion is essentially like a blog builder slash wiki where you're able to just dump a bunch of text on it and it will live on the internet. So I can share this link with people. But I've gone through and taken all the books on my shelves of marketing and business strategy and combined it with some of the greats that are out there. And so in here is prompts that I am able to walk a client through.
Ah.
And some of them are, you know, extensive. But from here, I'm able to keep things organized. And so for your guys' audience, I got a template that I'll be able to send you, put it in the show notes, and you can just click duplicate in the top right-hand corner, and it will create a 600-page prompt library for you to start with, and then you can have a place to put them when you are able to, you know, come up with ways that you reuse. So instructions are great, and fine-tuning them takes time, but then when you can reuse them every day, that's when you save the time, that's when they become really powerful.
All right, let's see. We got one comment and one question only. I just put out last call. Let's hit those and we can wrap up. Tori, actually, both of these are from Tori. Should I upgrade to paid AI? And if so, which one? I currently use a free version of GPT. I have a podcast that I need to reactivate and want to have a membership for it. You can answer it your way. I'll tell you that I have the paid version. To me, it is much better. I've gotten so much out of it. I went to the Teams version. And that way I was able to have my wife and I both have access, more time, more resources. I don't know what the limit is, but I've never hit it since I upgraded and then I canceled my personal one. That's like $50. So it's like 20. It's really two users though. And that way my wife can use it for coaching the kids. I can use it in my business. And I could never get an employee for $50 a month that does what it does. So to me, it's just a straight business equation. Like people like talk about the blue check on X and they're like, oh, you're giving Elon and fucking Elon has whatever information he wants on me anyway, using X. It's a business expense. If I didn't make $100 a year off of X, I wouldn't be there. So to me, that's just as a business owner, I don't even think about the money there.
Yeah. And if $20, it seems like a lot. You don't understand what you're able to acquire with this thing.
Yeah.
And ChatGPT, I haven't even talked about this. For the last 9 days, OpenAI has released a new product every day in their 12 days to Christmas launch. And so for the last 9 days, they've been releasing new products that is unifying all the different models and being able to bring it out. And that's why you just saw the vision for the first time, because they're rolling all these things out. So I there's not enough time to like even go into what's new in the last 2 weeks.
Cool.
I would have to be a separate episode that you get as a plus user for $20.
Well, I have to say this. If you work for ChatGPT and by some freak you listen to this episode, the number one thing you guys need to train GTP on is itself, because it doesn't know anything about itself. It has no self-awareness, and I don't mean like a human's version. I mean like you ask it how to do something, and it'll tell you that you can't do it, and you're like, wait, I just did it. I just don't remember how. Like when the voice thing first came out, I'm like, how do I use the voice thing? We don't have that. I'm like, yeah, you do, right? Like, and so that's what it needs is to be able to tell you. Like it should be able to tell you, welcome, Jack. I'm glad you're here to talk to me again today. Here's a new feature we have, like cheap and any AI tool. You guys need to train it on itself. That's just the most – that's marketing 101, right? I mean
– I think they just solved that because they just released access to browser with voice mode.
Okay.
So before it was a trained data set with a cutoff date on it, and so it didn't know what was new about itself. But now it can just like look it up while you're talking, which is
– That's cool. Awesome. That's awesome. And then Tori, this is just a comment I liked, and it's like there's one more there. We'll see what it is in a second. But she said – I asked ChatGPT to help me with a quick claim deed. I've been in the legal field for decades, but have no idea the better way to draft a quick claim. I compared it to others in my county and it's perfect. So this is something, see, that's a person that should be using it for legal things because they have enough legal mind to know this is wrong. You got to be really careful with Gelman amnesia with this thing. So Gelman amnesia is when you know, you read an article in a newspaper and you go, well, that's bullshit. And then you turn the page, you read another article, but you don't know anything about it and you think it's true and you forgot the same source just lied to you. Right. And you got to be careful with GPT. You got to be able to have enough knowledge about what you're looking at, or at least anything that doesn't pass the basic smell test, like, you know, follow up on that. I think that's it. That's all the questions we have. Josh, thanks a lot. Again, the website, joshuahale.io. He's also on X and I'm sure other places. That's just what I see on the sheet in front of me there. I'll make sure all the ways to find Josh and what he's doing are in the show notes today. And Josh, send that other stuff over to me and anything else you think of between now and the next 30 minutes. And when the audio goes up, it'll all be there. And there's a link right down there in those video notes that'll take you over to that audio. And I always have to say this for special children. If you click it right now while we're live, it won't work because we're not done yet. And give me about 30 minutes. I'll get that up and we'll have, you know, all the resources available there. Josh, man, thanks for coming on today. Again, the one thing about the five clarifying questions alone is going to be a game changer for people.
Excellent. Oh. Well, thank you so much for having me on.
If you got time.
All right, let's do it.
Homestead consultant, how can I get better image generation results? What are some good prompts? I'll go first and you add to it. I would say, one, be very specific about what you want, including things like aspect ratio and style, like high digital photography, cartoon, etc. But the other thing that I've learned is do not frustrate yourself. If you've said something like you put the prompt in and you wanted no text in the image because it really is not good at text and it'll put Coptic letters in and shit, and then you say, do it now with no text in the image, sometimes it gets stuck. And I found that, like, when I refine that prompt, start a whole new chat. Because with GPT anyway, it's talking to DALL-E, and you don't see that side of it. So it's already had these previous prompts in image tools. Sometimes I think they get stuck on something, and it's easier to start over. What say you?
Yeah, so prompts have been really difficult to pull off, and the image generators have come miles in the last year. So what you said is true, and also it's getting a lot easier to find tools that can get you what you're looking for without the need of, like, understanding these extensive prompts in order to get exactly what you're looking for. So I'll show you one more tool. This one just came out this last week. It's called Whisk, and it's surprisingly another Google product that you're able to, instead of using text, you're able to add images to it. And it will remix and combine the different images into one. So no more trying to describe exactly what you're looking for. You can just go out and, you know, for visual learners, you're like, oh, I like that. I like that. I like that. Let's remix this into something that is usable.
And that's something that I found that I could do with to a degree with Midjourney via Discord, where I could give it an image, and then with prompting, you can tell it to be, you know, how close to the original image. But this is cool as shit.
Yeah, so for, you know, those prompt illiterate out there, it actually gives you the prompt afterwards. So being able to fine-tune the prompt after this, a lot easier than, you know, starting from scratch. And especially, like, DALL-E is actually quite outdated as far as image generators go.
Yes.
There's a lot better ones, and I bet they're about to roll out a new DALL-E that will be, you know, ahead of the curve and all that. But it can be really difficult trying to get what you want out of chat image generation right now.
And so the other ad that I'll do to that is sometimes what you're looking for, one will do really well and the other one won't. So I have Midjourney and ChatGPT, and if I'm just, like, frustrated as fuck with one of them, I just go over and drop the refined prompt into the other, and one of them will get me there. And, you know, that's another $20 for Midjourney. But again, I'm back.
Midjourney's the best right now.
Yeah, I would agree. But I'm back to, if I had to pay somebody to do this, right? You know, and I'm gonna have ChatGPT.
$300, easy.
Anyway, right? Yeah. There's no way I can hire anybody for that price. But that cools too. So yeah, anything you have, shoot it on over. We'll get it in the notes. And thanks for being with us today, man.
My pleasure. Thanks for Jack for all you do.
All right, guys. Hope you enjoyed today's episode. I'm going to wrap up quick, but I do want to let you know about our item of the day. And I want to make an apology to those of you on social media who tried to go buy something today, Vivor had a desk on sale for like $70 is what my rep told me. And it was this morning. And I wrote it up and I threw it on the side as like a deal of the day because it was on clearance. And then it went up to $170. So I don't know what happened. I sent an angry email to Bella and it is what it is. And if it goes back down, I'll let you guys know through social and all. But this is a reason to make sure you are connected with me on social media. And probably the strongest way to do that, where you're not going to have anybody censor the information, is get on Telegram and get on our Telegram channel where it's just my announcements. You'll get about 3 or 4 things a day from me. You can, you know, shut it off anytime you want. But then there's no algorithm like telling you, oh, you don't really want to see this. But I'm also on X and even Facebook, but I post and ghost there because I hate Facebook. And I'm on Noster and all that. And I do have an item of the day for you today, though, that's been selling really well. It's Vivor's compact emergency air compressor. This thing's awesome. Here's what I like best about it. You can set it for, let's say, vehicle tires, 32 PSI. And then you put it in your wife's car who doesn't know how to work anything like this. And all she has to know is turn it on, put the tube in, screw it on the tire, and hit a button. And when it gets to 32 PSI, you know what it does? Stops. You take it off, you put it away. One thing to know about this, though, that can frustrate you if you don't read the Chinglish instructions that come with it. It comes with a power adapter, and it comes with a little USB-C cord. The USB-C cord is for charging. The power adapter you plug into a 12-volt port. It's a really long wire, so you could probably hit all 4 tires with the door open or the window open, but it doesn't charge. So I forgot that, and recently I was trying to recharge mine. I'm like, well, I want to charge. So that's just one thing to know about it. These things are very affordable. They make a great, great gift. If you do not have a way to inflate tires in your vehicle, I always hate saying this, but sometimes it's true, you're wrong. And I don't care, like, I know how to change a spare or whatever. Yeah, okay, fine. And now you're on the side of the highway and you're getting run over. You might want to be able to just get some air in your tire, get the hell out of the place to somewhere safe or something like that. And again, do you want your daughter or your wife or your kid or whatever changing a tire on the interstate? It's not fun. I've had to do it. With one of these, you can, most instances, like you hit a piece of angle iron or something like I did once, you're not airing that up. But otherwise, you can at least get to a better place. And, you know, the best place for most people, honestly, will be a tire shop. But if you have this and a plug kit and you know how to use both, you probably can solve 90% of your problems on your own. So check it out. And remember, this time of year when we're doing a lot of gift shopping, it's about to be, you know, coming to a head next week. You can always start your shopping at tspaz.com and help us out. No matter what you buy, consider becoming an MSB member. The discounts more than pay for the cost of it, and you'll support the show. I will be with you tomorrow with an expert counsel Q&A flashback Friday on Friday. Next week will be a very abbreviated short week. One of the things we will be the Christmas special. I will then be gone until January 2nd. I shut down for Christmas and New Year's every year. I spend it with my family. But during that time, you know, not Christmas Day, but the rest of the regular work days, I will be running rewinds for you guys. And again, I'll catch you tomorrow with that expert counselor Q&A show for the week. They said you should have a house the American way. $1 down, $1 a month. Never have to pay. There's a better way to do this. Let me show you a better way.